This is Colorful Radio.
Our music, our news,
our views.
Our featured business this morning is Sapel Shop with Daphne. I need to ask you, first of all, Sapel, am I pronouncing it right?
It's actually Sapele.
Ah, you see, my co-presenters won this bet.
go on, Daphne. You can explain why it's Sapele.
Well, it's actually, Sapele is the name of a tree which is also called, known as the African mahogany tree. And the true spelling ends with an I at the end. But we sort of took an artistic flair and put an E at the end.
And where is this tree? Which part of Africa is this tree in?
It grows in large swathes of Western and Central Africa in forests. And the reason why we picked the name was I wanted something that was quintessentially African but beautiful. And the Sapele wood is used in all kinds of amazing uses, like luxury car dashboards and furnishings and fittings, musical instruments. So if you look at a really beautiful violin, you'll find, if you can see the grain of the wood.
The reason we were having this discussion is because it's E-double-L-E at the end.
Yes.
There was the question of whether that's L in the French. And I said, no, I lived in Central Africa, and that's Sapele. So
he just wanted to show off.
I just feel self-satisfied now.
Because he speaks Swahili and all sorts of things.
No,
you know?
I don't speak them, but I can pronounce quite a lot of the words.
So. I see.
So this is a shop you have, which it's a fashion shop, right? Tell us about your business. How did you start? Where did you start? You know, and what do you do?
Yes. Well, Sapele is a retailer, mm-hmm. And what we do is we feature our own fashion as well as ladies' fashion, as well as the fashion of several different designers who use a mixture of African and European influences to create these contemporary clothing that just has a very unique look to it. A lot of it is created using African prints, or otherwise known as Ankara or wax prints, but we're also looking at fashion that's produced using other African heritage fabrics, like hand-woven fabric or dyed or other types of printed fabric. And we also use we also sell accessories that have been created using the wealth of artisanal skills that exist all over the continent of Africa. So what we're effectively doing is we're bringing contemporary African-influenced fashion to a global market.
But wouldn't you say that there are quite a few people doing that already? How does that competition affect you?
Yes, there are a few people doing it. We started, the idea was first born in my mind in probably 2011. And at the time, What I saw when I did my research was that there were some high street retailers doing it. There were the likes of H&M and Burberry and a lot of other sort of high-end and high street designers doing African-influenced fashion. But none of it was coming out of Africa. None of it had input from African designers. A lot of it was being manufactured in the Far East. So when we launched in 2012, we were one of possibly three or four doing this. But since then, the African influence trend has just picked up so much, and there's been an explosion of creativity, and there's now so many different labels doing it. But I actually think that's a good thing, because it's creating an appetite.
Sorry to interrupt, but you're talking about the designs and the styles. Are you the designer, or do you employ designers, and are they from Africa themselves, or who actually creates the designs from which you work?
We've got a split. So we've got a very, probably 10% of what we sell is designed in-house by myself. The rest of it is actually sourced from designers who create their own designs in the same way that you'd find a normal boutique working. So they create a lookbook, they create a collection for each season, show us their collection, and then we go through the wonderful task of selecting what we think will sell to our customers, putting that together and selling it through our marquee, Sapele.
Well, which is what I was going to come on to. If people are interested in your products, where do they find them? Do they find them in shops, in boutiques, or is it online? How do you market your products? And you can plug any particular name, location, etc.
Okay. The first thing is sapele.com, which is our online platform. And it's we sell... That this was our first sort of platform to sell from, sapele.com, with a single P and double L. And we ship to women all over the world now using this platform. That was from 2012. Since 2013, we thought that we would sort of add another dimension, which is the physical stores. So we've been doing pop-ups all over London. We've literally just closed the door to a four-month pop-up in Southeast London, and we're about to announce the location of a new shop, which we hope will be our permanent location in London. So if people sort of go to our website, they'll soon be able to find details of that.
You can announce it on air now if you want.
You heard it here first.
I've learned the lessons of not saying anything until you've signed on the dotted line.
A very sound judgment.
We also get a lot of traffic from the US. So what we've done is established a base out there, and we'll be launching sapeleusa.com in February. So that's really exciting as well. And as I mentioned before, we've got our own label, and we're developing that so that we can actually not only sell our own label in store, but we can also sell it through boutiques and multiples around the world. So those are the three sort of platforms which we're intending to really develop and sort of grow over the next few months.
You know, we've had quite a few sort of businesses on this program who are working with the African market, the diaspora. Do you work with small businesses in Africa? And if so, sort of which countries in particular do you get these? Do you collaborate with?
Yeah, I do work with a lot of small businesses. There's only a handful of the suppliers we work with who are, you know, who employ multiples of workers, but a lot of them are sort of small business, you know, medium-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. We have a very strong supplier base in Kenya. Kenya just seems to have a wealth of talent and creativity, and they also have a great attention to detail and sort of high production value. So we get a lot of our stuff out of Kenya. We work with brands like Kiko Romeo, Huru, Made, which is a big UK-based but with a production facility in Kenya jewelry brand. Mm-hmm. We also have Ghana as a main sort of supplier base, and Southern Africa as well. South Africa and Lesotho previously were big exporters of garments in the garment and apparel industry. So they've got, you know, experienced machinists and people who, you know, can create garments in a very high to a high level of quality.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of the three main hubs we get our products from. But we're also seeing, you know, other small social enterprises as well as sort of commercial enterprises coming up all over the continent. I mean, we've got our supply chain extends to about 15 different African countries. Sub-Saharan African countries.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You said just now that you're going to set up a base which you're going to announce in the near future. We're at the start of 2015. Is that your big task for 2015? I'm struck by the fact that you're talking about a multinational business which has only been in operation for a very short period of time. So to suggest you might be doing other things maybe a bit much. But having said that, you've achieved so much in such a short time. So what else are you thinking about doing in 2015?
I think that my plate is very full with those.
Isn't it just?
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to have a four-week pop-up, but it's another to actually set yourselves up in a shop which will succeed in the long term, because now you're talking about employing people,
permanent staff,
keeping them employed, and having a supply chain that will supply in an efficient way the products that you need in the shop and that kind of thing. So for now, for this year, we're going to focus on perfecting those things. I really believe in sort of getting the basics right before you sort of bite off more than you can chew.
So the pop-up idea that was introduced, I think it was Britain, I can't remember the organization, they introduced this idea of pop-ups to give people a taste of what it would be like to have a physical space to sell their stuff. It seems to have served you pretty well.
Yes. In fact, actually, I think you may be talking about Startup Britain.
Yes, Startup Britain. Yeah.
That was actually our first pop-up. We did our first pop-up with Startup Britain in Victoria. We shared the space with five other brands, I think, and it really gave us, under the protection of, you know, this organization, it gave us a chance to taste what it would be like. And from our perspective, it was a great endorsement of the product because we did really well. And we did, I think, better than the other brands who were there. So it kind of gave us almost like a peer group comparison as well, because we were then able to then go out and do our own pop-up and in our own name. And we have done 4 or 5 others since then.
Yes.
And just building up the experience. So I really agree with you. I think Startup Britain has. And another thing is that when you're doing a pop-up, you are covering yourself. You're sort of mitigating business rates and all the other costs that and the very, very high London rental rates, which we're seeing right now.
Yes. Well, that's brilliant. That's a brilliant success story there. And we're very grateful that you came on to share that with us. That is Sapele, and the CEO is Daphne Kasembala. Daphne, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I'm sure we'll speak to you again soon. And we'll look out for your clothing.
Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.